Established in grace and growing in faith. What greater thing is there? And we're going to continue today. I have a few jokes that I want to read. Couldn't help myself. So if you don't like jokes, you're welcome to leave until I'm done. But well, I don't know. That remains to be. They're funny to me. Or I probably wouldn't be reading them. I love it. Along the lines of faith. And today I want to hone in a little bit more on where we've kind of danced around the edges of having faith in the unseen and also being aware of the unseen realm. Do you know that most believers, and I hope I don't step on any toes. If I do, I'm probably stepping on my own, so you can relax. But most believers live most of their life, no matter how much we say hallelujah, and no matter how much we have our little religious little quips and ways of greeting one another, we live so much of our life after the flesh. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying sin, per se, but I'm saying we live our lives, even our Christian life, according to what we see, feel. Huge on the feel. Right? Hear. Taste. Whatever. We live our lives according to these things. And so today I want to really encourage you in the Word in reference to faith. I mean, there's been a lot of things taught on faith that have set a lot of people free. Okay, it's not a trick question. And how many of there's been a lot of things taught on faith that have bound people up? And I don't know if you were here the Sunday that I talked about Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and its context, which is really important, because if you believe that the book of Hebrews is written solely to believers, then when you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and it tells you without faith it is impossible to please God, how many are glad that you put your faith in Jesus? And that now we live according to the Word of God by the faith of Jesus? So He is pleased with us because of our faith. Come on, are you here today? Because of our faith in Jesus. So that's another message. I hit it just a little bit. I don't want to take a whole lot of time there. But I'm so glad that God paid the price for us to be able to house the presence of God. And with His presence came everything we need. Come on, are you here this morning? To be able to overcome and conquer in life. Paul put it this way in Romans 8, yea, we are more than conquerors. You're a rowdy bunch this morning again, I can tell. But we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How many are glad that He loved us? And that's what made it possible for us to be more than conquerors in Jesus. I love it. A guy named Joe finds himself in dire trouble. His business has gone bust and he's in serious financial trouble. He's so desperate that he decides to ask God for help. He begins to pray, God, please help me. I've lost my business. If I don't get some money, I'm going to lose my house as well. Please let me win the lotto. Lotto night comes and nobody else wins, and somebody else wins it. Joe again prays, God, please let me win the lotto. I've lost my business, my house, and I'm going to lose my car as well. Lotto night comes and Joe still has no luck. Once again, he prays, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've lost my business, my house, my car. My wife and my children are starving. I don't often ask you for help, and I've always been a good servant to you. Please just, good servant, buying lotto tickets? I don't know. We can argue about that later. Okay. But please let me win the lotto this time so I can get my life back in order. Suddenly, there's a blinding flash of light as the heavens open, and Joe is confronted by the voice of God Himself. Joe, meet me halfway on this. Buy a ticket. There's a lot of people that think they're in faith, but they're not going anywhere with it. You got to open up your mouth. You got to believe some things. You've got to move forward. You got to cooperate with what God has set out. Now, we're not endorsing the lotto. In fact, one of the things that makes me the maddest right here in our town, what a bondage. Let me take a little side trip. When I see somebody with three or four snotty little kids, hardly have any clothes to wear, and they're standing there buying a 12-pack of beer and holding me up while they're buying this fantasy thing and this other thing and this other thing, and I'm seeing them get in a beat-up, drives me nuts. I want to grab the guy and deck him and then take those precious little kids and steal them. Don't believe the lie. That has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, so I'll move right along. Here's another one for you. I love it. A nun who works for a local home health care agency was out making her rounds when she ran out of gas. As luck would have it, there was a station just down the street, so she walked to the station to borrow a can with enough gas to start the car and drive to the station for a fill-up. The attendant regretfully told her that the only can he'd owned had just been loaned out, but if she would care to wait, he was sure it would be back shortly. Since the nun was on her way to see a patient, she decided not to wait and walked back to her car. After looking through her car for something to carry to the station to fill with gas, she spotted a bedpan she was taking to the patient. Always resourceful, she carried it to the station, filled it with gasoline, carried it back to her car. As she was pouring the gas into the tank of her car, two men walked by, and one of them turned to the other and said, "Now that's what I call real faith." I love it. Now this one comes in a little bit closer to what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay? Cute, but it speaks of what we're going to talk about this morning. My aunt and uncle had a missionary family visiting. This is a true story, by the way, not a joke. When the missionary children were called in for dinner, their mother said, "Be sure to wash your hands, kids." The little boy scowled and said, germs and Jesus, that's all I ever hear, and I've never seen either of them. Let that sink in a minute. I love it. I absolutely love it. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5. And I want to encourage you. So I'm taking my time on this subject. You know, that first guy could have learned a lot from, you know, I've spent a lot of Sundays saying, be careful about formulas. So in keeping with my typical contradictions, I'm going to give you a formula. Very quickly, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 24, and then I want to talk to you about the unseen. A simple rule, and Brother David Ingalls years ago wrote a song, I love it. Remember hearing it for the first time when I was 16 or 17. But he said that you can write your own ticket with God. Now that first joke that I told when he says, go buy a ticket, if that were really God and if that were true, what he would be saying is, you're wanting all this stuff, but you haven't even bought a ticket. I don't know how many of you know who Brother Hagin is, but years ago he wrote a little booklet called Write Your Own Ticket with God. Now once again, he didn't intend it as a formula, neither do I, but there are some truths here that will flow with what we're talking about, because it's how the Word of God works. How many know that we are delivered in Jesus from the curse of the law? How many would agree? And how many know that although the law is God's righteous and perfect standard that will stand forever, for those who are in Christ, we no longer relate to God via the law. For the Spirit of God, through Paul, said the law is for the lawless. We now, by faith, have come into a new law, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, which says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law. So scripturally, for those who are in Christ, we have been set free from a relationship with God through legal standards. Read your Bible. Okay? How many are glad for Jesus today? So we're no longer under the law, nor do we function according to the law. But how many know that we need to be careful, because how many know there are certain laws that God put in place that, thank God, they haven't changed? We've talked about gravity a few times. How many are glad for the law of gravity? If it was lifted right now, you'd be really glad that we don't live that way. I mean, all that we do is made possible because of one thing that scientists to this day have no clue why it's here, where it came from. You can't see it, touch it, taste it, feel it. And yet some of the same fools say, well, I don't believe in God because I can't. Okay. At any rate, let me get back to where I was at. So we need to understand that although we do not function according to the old law, how many know that there are laws, for example, of faith? In other words, if you examine the Word of God, you will find out that God, for our benefit, because of His love, sets certain things in motion. And if we will trust Him and simply rest in those truths / laws. Now, when I say law, these are not laws of bondage, but these are laws of freedom. In other words, He sets some certain things into place that if we will trust Him and rest in those promises, the effort comes in getting the promises in your heart. The effort comes from sowing seed. The effort comes from you believing that the grace of God has been poured out to you in an unbelievable way. His love for you, His willingness to bless you, His desire. I mean, He wants to bless you more than you do. And His love, because of your faith in Jesus, once and for all, never changes. God is, and that's why I have a hard time with Hebrews 11:6 taken out of context, because I preached it and I heard many preach it to me. It says, God is not pleased with me when I'm not in faith. Well, let me tell you something. Context is, I am in the faith of Jesus, and He is always pleased with me. According to Ephesians 1, He tells me that I am highly favored by God. John tells us that as He is Jesus, so are we in this world. How does He say that? Because He knew the same truth that Paul did from Ephesians 2, which says that when we put our faith in Jesus, He seated us spiritually in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, hidden in Him. I'm very glad for that. That's how God sees you. It's time we start seeing ourselves that way. So, what I want to say is there are laws of freedom. In other words, things that God has set into place that if we will simply trust by faith and cooperate, things begin to happen. Now, in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34, we see there was, starting in verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. Today, I don't want to just preach a sermon. Today, I want you to open up the ears of your heart. Some of you in here are facing battles. I don't ever want to come up here and just have a cute little 3-point sermon and a poem. I may not do the best job at times, but my heart is that somewhere a trigger is pulled, a spark is ignited, and that you step into a whole new level of trusting God. We see the same thing happen throughout the life of Jesus. Those that heard and came to Him, the Bible says every one of them were healed. Yes. But also notice the background of that whole thing is that most did not come to Him. There were places where multitudes thronged, but Scripture reveals, listen, He went to His own hometown, the Bible says, and He could there do no mighty works in His own hometown because of familiarity. I wrestle with that as a pastor. There is a gift, and then there is the person. And you have to be so careful, because sometimes people can't see the difference. And if people see too much of your humanness, Immaturity will cause him to believe, well, he's no different than I am. He puts his pants on just like me. Who is he to have anything to do with God working in my life? Now that I've spent some time with him, well, of course I am. But as we grow in the Word of God, we find out that there's a part of maturity is that we begin to recognize giftings, not just in your pastor, but in those around you. Are you listening to me? And that we don't lose the awe of the goodness of God expressed through His body. Ephesians 4 said that it was a big deal for Jesus. After he had conquered the grave, he ascended into heaven, Ephesians 4 tells us, and he gave gifts to men. And he gave some for to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints could do the work of the ministry. If I can encourage you and help you see, you have a calling. You have a mighty place in God in the body. There is healing in your hands. Don't look at me like that. The Bible says that. You don't need a superhero of faith or a Superman of faith. You have the power to give voice to faith in your heart that Jesus said moves mountains. Listen, this is the gospel. It breaks my heart. This is the gospel that's being hidden from the church today. It's not popular because it puts responsibility on the hearer. And people in this day and age don't want to hear anything about responsibility on any level. Are you here today? But I'm thankful it only takes two or three or a little group to begin to say, wait a minute, if God said it, there's more that be with us than be with them. This may be a season of struggle, of small beginning. I'm not talking about the church people. I'm not up here underhandedly trying to promote church vision. I'm talking about you individually, maybe going through a season of struggle, a bit of a dry period, or whatever's going on. But I'm here to tell you by the Spirit of God today that the just, come on, are you here today? The just live. They don't exist. They live by faith. That's why I refuse to just give you a three-pointer on faith and move on, because this is how we live. And yet the church, in large part, isn't hearing this. Do you know that the message of grace that we have hammered for years now, it's been so difficult to work our way through even that because it's such a mess. But do you know that a true understanding of grace, a true understanding, I'm not going to take the time to qualify that right now and understand we have a few visitors, but a true understanding of grace will empower you to walk in real faith. For Galatians tells us, the Spirit of God in the book of Galatians, so the Apostle Paul says that faith works, or it operates. Are you here today? It's empowered by, it functions by and through love. We've got all kinds of definitions for grace. Unmerited favor, I love it. The ability of God, I love it. It's right down to the core. A lot of things, but let me just give you a simple one. The love of God. Period. Aren't you glad today that we are more than conquerors? You may not see it yet, but stick with us. We're more than conquerors through Him. And I don't think I'm twisting the Word of God to say because of His love for us. Now this woman, she had an issue of blood 12 years. I might have been fighting with some stuff for a while. We have an example. God saw fit to put this account, not a story. Be careful what you tell your kids. These aren't stories. These are accounts. Real happenings. And there was a woman. God saw fit in His wisdom to share with you and I about a woman who was at her wit's end, at the end of the doctor loop, everything she could do, didn't know where else to go, 12 years. I don't mean to be mean, but most believers nowadays quit after 12 hours. 12 years. Had suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she'd heard of Jesus, I said, the Word of God said, when she had heard of Jesus. What do you think that means? Think about what that means for a minute. It wasn't when she'd heard of King so-and-so or Judge so-and-so. When she'd heard of Jesus. Think about what that means. Ryan said, Acts 10:38, how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good. Don't keep the kids from coming to me. Let them come here. I'm a touchable God. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. If the first stop in your mind is always physical, you're already caught in a trap. Understand, we have a spiritual battle. People of God, do you hear me this morning? We have a spiritual battle. And many physical things are manifest. I'm not saying that every disease or sickness or every struggle, every financial, every whatever is a demon. That's silly. I've met people like that. I've seen real demons, dealt with real demons. Probably will continue to deal with very real demons. I've prayed with people that had pictures in this town flying off their wall, exploding off the wall under their bed, scared out. Right here in Chino. Don't talk to me about the mission field. We have one right here. It's just hidden behind drugs. And liquor. And psychiatric medications. Huh? Pharmaceuticals, you got it. But it's just as real. Sorry, I'm turning you into a very sober bunch again. Okay, so here, let's move on. Okay, here we go. So, when she'd heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment, touched His clothes. Now I want you to listen to something. For she said, if I may but touch, for she said. Everybody, would you say that with me today? For she said. Say it one more time. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She obviously had, I've seen this. I saw a lady get healed of this in Guatemala, where there was a continual flow. She had a feminine problem. There was an issuing of blood, serious. Do you understand? And the Bible says right then it was dried up, and she was made whole. How many are glad for Dr. Jesus? Come on, let's get real. Can we get real? Other people say this isn't get real. They're telling you the opposite. Oh, what are you talking about? Get real. I'm challenging it the other way. No, let's get real. Can we trust Him for who He is? Okay? We're going to keep hammering this as faith rises. Hopefully you're not just coming here to have your ears tickled for, 50 minutes. Sunday mornings, and then you don't even think about it the rest of the week. Your struggle. You understand? If that's where you're at, then your struggle is probably warranted. I'm not saying you deserve trouble, but I'm saying if we're not taking the Word of God and meditating on it. I love Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man or woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his passion is for the Word of God. And in that Word, he meditates day and night. I challenged our Bible school students on Tuesday night. I said, some of you say, man, that's unreasonable that God would expect us to meditate day and night. And I said, you know what? How many of you have lived a life of worry? You worry day and night. You wake up in the middle of the night, your jaws are sore from grinding your teeth. All day long, you're hampered with and bogged down with worry every waking moment, and yet you pay bills. You have babies. You go to work. You drive to and from town. You buy groceries. You eat. You run a business. While you worry, 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 let me challenge you with a line from the devil. If you can worry 24/7, then you can meditate in his goodness 24. Just start trying. This other stuff doesn't get you anywhere anyway. How many are glad for Jesus today? All right. So here we go. So we see here that straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling now, you realize how many laws she broke? She heard from a different rabbi and knew, I know the laws, but I believe this man's different. And if I can just tell, but now once it happened, now she's thinking about, uh-oh. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, I love it. Hear it for you today, daughter, son, your faith. How much Bible school did she have? How much knowledge of God? For she had heard of Jesus. You realize how simple that is? Have you heard of Jesus lately? The healer, the deliverer. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Look at what he says. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, before I go into the unseen aspect of this, just to challenge you a little bit today, I want you to see a formula. After all this time of me hitting on, you know, trash and formulas, I want you to see a formula. How many know this is not a formula? But we will see here something that we see throughout the Word of God. The first thing that she does in verse 28 is she says something. Number one, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, number one is say it. Let it come out of your mouth. For she said, if I may but, having heard of Jesus. Nothing's going to happen without that. But once having heard, she said with her mouth. For she said. How many know there is a response to faith? Not a work. A response that is necessary. And it starts. How'd you get saved? You spoke something. You spoke what you believed in your heart. She said it. Number two, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time. This is a whole complete other sermon that maybe I'll share at some point during the series. I don't want to do that because I want to just hit it very lightly. The next one is, she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She said it, and then she did it. Say it, one, two, do it. Now that's so silly, Pastor Lee. Oh, is it? Well, we're reading the Bible, so you're going to have to deal with this. Here's a pattern you see throughout Scripture. We're going to see it again in the life of Elisha. All right? In David. The next thing that happened is she told Jesus all the truth. Go tell somebody. Be bold. She told Jesus. Let him know everything. Say it. Do it. Isn't that something? Excuse me, I skipped three. I jumped ahead to four. Excuse me, let's hit three. That wasn't three. Here's three. Receive it. Say it. Do it. How could I forget that? Three, receive it. She took what was hers. All right? And four, she let somebody know what Jesus had done. Do you know how many times I've seen this taken by very simple people, primarily on the mission field, get a hold of it and watch God do a miracle in their body and in their life? How many know He is no respecter of person? He does the same thing here. Some of you are looking at me like a cow looking at a brand new gate. But this is Bible. This is Bible. Say with me, say it. Do it. Receive it. Tell somebody. Start with Jesus. Jesus, I believe, right now, regardless of what's taking place, you're my healer and my healing. And I'm going to start moving out and trusting God. So many of His miracles happened as they went. That's huge. That's huge. How many love Jesus this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. So, can we do it one more time? Say it. Do it. Receive it. And then tell it. How many glad for Jesus today? There's a place to start. Okay, now, I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. How many know that just because you can't see God doesn't mean He isn't real? The little boy, all I hear is Jesus and germs. Jesus and germs, and I've never seen either of them. How many have seen Jesus? You know what I mean. Not physically. Maybe some have. How many know God can open up our spiritual eyes to see into another realm, and it makes all the difference? How many know that right here, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, how many know if you're at your house and you're watching TV, those of us that have satellite dishes and it just goes out, how many know the first thing we do is we go running to see if there's snow on the dish or if there's a power out? How many know what I'm talking about? We know that there's something wrong with the receiver 9 times out of 10. Now, there have been a few times in a fallen world where the satellite dish failed, but most of the time we're not thinking that. We're thinking somewhere, and even that's a receiver, right? So we're looking for the receiver. We don't doubt for a minute that all of those waves that are going through the air, coursing through the air right now. If I brought a TV in here, I almost did it. Brought a TV in here and set it up and put a set of rabbit ears on it and turned it on. If you get tuned in, you're going to get stations that are coursing through the air right now. Just because you can't see them or feel them or hear them does not mean they're not there. All you need to do is get in tune. And you'll see things you've never seen before. Now, once again, this is not my declaration of you. I'm speaking better things of you, as Paul said, but most Christians are not going to take the time to see that. Just give me a shot. I want to be over this in 12. Just give me a Big Mac. I want to be through this in 5. We're the only generation that stands at a microwave waiting on a cup of coffee going, "Hurry up, you doggone thing." But as we trust God, this great grace helps us to see into another realm. How many are glad for Jesus today? All right. How many know that if we'll figure out how to tune in, and grace enables us to do that. You want to know something else grace does? That when we fail to do this, His love doesn't change. It doesn't make us a second-class believer. How many know we're all growing in Jesus? But we can tune in to what God is saying, all right? He is unseen, but He is real. Turn with me very quickly. I had you go to 2 Kings 6. Put your finger there. I want to just read something to you that came to mind. Colossians chapter 2. And I love this verse. Colossians chapter 2. Starting with verse 12. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Another translation says this. Am I in the wrong place? That's one. Two, forgive me. Colossians 1. Sorry about that. Colossians 1. Made us meet. That means we have been qualified by God to be partakers. Say, I'm qualified by faith in the blood. Isn't that beautiful? Who hath delivered us? Listen to what he says in 13. Who hath delivered us? Everybody say, has. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. All right, let's try it again. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, are you here today, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have, everybody say with me, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Can I hear a shout all over the place this morning? Okay, here we go. Who is the image of the invisible God? Make no apologies for it. Do you know that everything we see, scientists now know, there is a realm we cannot see that is more real than the realm we're in. And what they don't know is that realm that we can't see that makes this realm possible, there's another realm behind it called the spirit world. And Ephesians 1 says that out of that spirit world, because of Jesus, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's some heavy stuff. Excuse me? Are doubles? Explain. Well, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. Sounds interesting. I know He does beyond what we could dare to hope, think, or imagine, according to Ephesians 3:20. So here we go. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Listen close. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. I'll never forget watching Dr. Kennedy before he passed away. he had, and I can't think of his name, a scientist out of, Christian guy, a scientist creationist out of Stephenville, Texas, I believe it is. His name is slipping my mind right now. Carl Baugh, Dr. Carl Baugh, was on his program. And he took the biblical model and created what he called, as close as he could, based on what he saw in the original, a biosphere that would be similar to the earth before the curse. Okay? And in this biosphere, he has animals that outlive normal lifespans three times, grow into huge proportions, and all kinds of things. In fact, NASA got with him to find out one of the questions that they couldn't find out. They got with him and discovered it through his study based on biblical creation. Never heard that on Fox News, did you? Let alone the rest of them. So here we go. So here's the thing. I remember him talking about this. And talking how that the world, what we can't see, so everything, that God has a perfectly orchestrated system. And he shared in there about a young guy in Russia that was in a think tank. And he said at that time, I don't know where this technology is, or knowledge is at right now, because this now is a number of years. But at that time, there were only eight guys that understood. Everybody's heard of quantum algebra, right? But quantum physics at that time was a fairly new thing. And there were only eight people, according to Dr. Carl Baugh, that understood this process. And the Russian government had asked this think tank to, like they're always doing, they need to disprove that there's a God. They need to prove. They hate Christianity. They believe. They are true humanist, atheist. At least the system is. I don't really believe. I'm like Jackie. God doesn't believe in atheists. For every man knows in his heart. Romans 1 says that the wrath of God is revealed to all men. So that's why when I get with an atheist, I am not intimidated in the least, because I know something about you you don't know. You're shook a little on the inside underneath your fifth rib. You're not really as secure as you pretend. And the madder you get, the more I'm convinced that what I'm saying is true. That's another story. At any rate, so they need to come up with a separate answer. And I don't remember all the details exactly. What I do know is that through a fax, so this has been a few years ago, through a fax, a young man, having seen the program somehow where he was at, got through to Brother Carl Baugh and said, I've found the Jesus that you talk about, and began to relay his story, how that he'd been sent into this Russian think tank, and through quantum physics, this is way beyond me. He said, I found out that all that we know and all that exists with all the mathematical equations and everything else, he said, we keep coming back to a very beautiful personal designer. And they don't like it. He said, I have an 11-page equation. And it goes back. And he said, so they kept telling me, we don't like your answer. It proves that, but we don't like it. You go back and study more. He said, I went to Moscow, went through the libraries, and he said, I found a book called the Holy Bible. And in reading in there, he said, I found the one that you're talking about. Would you tell me about Jesus? And we sit here on a Sunday morning, people, forgive me as a pastor, but we sit here bored, some of us, when we hear the just shall live by faith. Do you know what freedom we have in this nation? We're covered over with the beautiful knowledge. Yet it means barely more than the next vacation. Please don't take that as condemnation. But can I stir you? I'm stirring me. How many love Jesus today? Amen. This man said, I found the one you're talking about. In faraway Russia, in a think tank, discovered who Jesus was. Beautiful stuff. There is an unseen realm. Jesus understood the unseen realm. He cursed a fig tree and walked away. Okay, I'll try this side. He cursed a fig tree And then he walked away. He wasn't worried about it. It stayed the same.
It's still the same.
He said, you won't bear fruit. Nobody will ever eat again from you. And he cursed it. And Peter, the next day, walking by, said, because they didn't say anything. The day before, Scripture doesn't record they said anything. They probably were saying, what the heck, in Greek. The next day, Peter said, Lord, look, the tree that you cursed, and this is the same guy. Think of it, who this man is. The preacher of Pentecost. I love Peter because he gives me hope. He cursed and denied. Cursed and swore and denied that he knew Jesus on Jesus' most difficult, it's almost silly to say, horrible night of his death. Cursed and denied that he even knew him. Yet Jesus said, I prayed for you. And he was the preacher of Pentecost. He was the one. Why, Peter? Peter, who do you say that I am? Whom? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response was, Simon of Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. The Spirit of God has spoken through you. Peter, a rough old hairy-legged, foul-mouthed fisherman. Peter's the same guy. I think it goes right over most people's heads. How did he know it had dried from the roots up? How did he know what had gone on? From his toes, the preacher of Pentecost, still in the making, says, look, Lord, the tree you cursed has been dried from the roots up. That, I believe, is why Peter and John at the gate, beautiful, the first miracle is, arise and behold, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Peter had a revelation of the unseen. He said, I may not have what you can see, but I've got something that's more powerful than what you can see in the unseen. And on that basis and in that name, arise and be healed. Where's that in the church today? How many would join me in believing God? Get over ourselves. That's what I love about grace. So that we can begin to move. It may not be popular. And it may not be cute. But it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Woo! Good news. Something unseen, that is, faith finds her voice and stands like a flint, declaring and moving towards the promise of God. A power that is unseen finds the roots of cancer in my wife Jackie's eye and begins to, over a process of time, cause it to dry up and deteriorate. We got people in here in Jesus' name. My declaration over you is that your disease shall not have rule over you. For the power of death has been broken by the blood. Stand and believe it. This is the gospel. Whew. I'm very glad for Jesus today. You think I'm yelling at you, don't you? I'm challenging me. From the age of 16, our family received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and our life has never been the same. And from that day forward, I've witnessed miracles, unexplainable miracles. Me and my brothers and family, listen. Some people say it's not about the miracles. It's just about getting people born again. Brother, you're getting hung up. What good is healing if they're not? That's so silly. I had somebody tell me, very near and dear to me, very precious, say, brother, you know, you're spending too much time on that. You need to spend time on getting people saved. That's what it's all about. That's like telling somebody that life is all about you being born. Excuse me, you got born so you can find what life is all about. That's a start, not the end. It seemed to be a big deal for Jesus, for he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, of my peace, was upon him. And by his stripes, are you here today? By his stripes, I am healed. Whew. With long life and length of days. Never back up on that, Bob. Calling and purpose. Ain't no thing. I've got somewhere to be. I got to end with this. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Go out of here strengthened. Get into this stuff. He is good.
He is good.
And his mercy endures forever. Second Kings chapter 6. God is real. He does exist. He just can't be seen yet. He's broadcasting all his power and blessings 24/7. It's never God's transmitter that is broken. Usually, there's something wrong, and I'm not saying there's something wrong with you. That's back to the old garbage. But there could be something wrong with our receiver. If we ask God for something, we don't see it manifest instantly. Most people question why God hasn't answered that prayer yet. They assume that because they haven't seen or heard anything, nothing has happened. Peter, the fig tree, Jesus. That's all wrong. We need to have more faith in God than we have in a television wave. Are you here this morning? In 2 Kings 6, Elisha, the prophet of God, was revealing the Syrian battle plans to the king of Israel. Every time the king of Syria tries to ambush. Now, we're going to read some excerpts out of this chapter, but I want you to know where 2 Kings 6 is. Mark it, fold a page, drop a cord, whatever you got to do. Read this stuff, know it for yourself. The prophet of God was revealing the Syrian battle plans of the king of Israel. Every time the king of Syria tried to ambush the king of Israel, Elisha would warn the king of Israel, and he would ambush the Syrian ambush. This happened so often that the king of Syria finally asked his servants to reveal who the traitor was. You'll find this right here in Ephesians 6. He knew the king of Israel could not be maneuvering like he was without, everybody say it with me, inside information. Come on, are you here today? Inside information. When one of the king of Syria's servants said that Elisha, the prophet of God, was revealing the words that the king of Syria said in his bedchamber to the king of Israel, the king of Syria went to his armies to capture Elisha. Look at verse 15 in 2 Kings 6. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what are we going to do? When Elisha's servant saw the Syrian troops, he panicked. Ever been there? Me too. He panicked. He knew why they were there. They had discovered Elisha was the one telling the king of Syria's battle plans to the king of Israel. They were in big trouble. Look at the response of Elisha to the situation in verse 16. He answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Some of you need to say that this morning. They, come on, say it with me. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. You in a battle? Let the Lord minister to your hearts this morning. People don't believe anything exists beyond their five senses. Most of the time. And these would say, "Elisha, you're crazy." He was confessing something, was so, they believe he was, they would say he's confessing something that was so that was not so. In other words, he was saying with his mouth something that he was saying it was so that wasn't so. Are you with me? But that's not the way it was at all. Elisha spoke the truth. There were more with him than was with the Syrian army. It was just Elisha's forces in the unseen reality. The key to understanding this, and I want you to know what I'm reading right now. I'm reading straight out of an article, this particular segment, an article that is free online. People, you don't have to dig very far. What I'm not all of this. This is mine. Right now, I'm literally reading word for word an article by Andrew Womack called "The Reality of Faith." You can own it. You can download it for free. Grow. Grab a hold. Listen to this statement. These segments right here, adding to what we're looking at in 2 Kings 6. Listen to what he says. People who don't believe anything exists beyond their five senses would say Elisha was lying. He was confessing something that was so that wasn't really so, hoping that it would become so. But that's not the way it was at all. Elisha spoke the truth. There were more with him than was with the Syrian army. It's just that Elisha's forces were in the unseen reality. The key to understand this is to recognize there's another realm of reality beyond this physical world. Those who are limited to only their five senses will always struggle. Say, "I'm not going to struggle the rest of my life." Come on, are you in here today? I'm not planning on struggling the rest of my life. Amen, Vicky. Praise the Lord. Elijah wasn't lying because he knew there was another world of reality. If you looked at the whole picture, the physical and spiritual world, then Elisha was right on. In the spiritual realm, there were many more horses and chariots of fire around Elisha than there were Syrian troops. According to 2 Kings 6, verse 17, look at it if your Bible's still open there. Elisha prayed. Listen to what this man did. Elisha prayed and he said, "I pray thee, open his eyes." He's speaking of his helper. The man with him, Gehazi, he said, he prayed for him, "Open his eyes." He said to the Lord, "I pray thee that he may see." And he, the Lord, opened the eyes of the young man. Would you lift your hands with me this morning all over this room? Well, come on, are you here today? Say, "Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes." This isn't a cute song. Open the eyes, my heart. Open the eyes. No, I mean for real. Open my eyes. There's another realm, Tyler. God has a call on your life. Huge, wonderful things. The right mate. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. As we wait, trusting Him. I'm glad for Jesus today. Hallelujah. Where do you stop? Gehazi's eyes were opened already. His physical eyes were wide open. He couldn't see anything. But the prophet prayed that his spiritual eyes would be opened. I love this. This is one of the most amazing stories. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. He was seeing, but he wasn't seeing. Or you could say he was looking, but he wasn't seeing. God opened up his eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I remember the story that I heard just recently. Once again, I've heard it through the years. Real story. I could tell you the missionaries' names. I've got it in one of my folders. Who didn't find out till years later. They went over in deep, dark Africa. The plan by the tribe that they were trying to reach was to kill them. And they gathered around and began to pray. Aren't you glad for people who know the word? They didn't become martyrs. They could have, and it would have been precious to God. But how many know when you find out the truth, you can stand? They begin to pray. Years later, after these men from this tribe had been saved and there were churches, the story was recounted, and they said, "Why did you not continue?" Because as they prayed, these people disappeared. They left. Drums had been going for days. And the threat was very real. They said, because when we actually went to attack the house, there were mighty men as fire standing ready with swords who would not let us in. I want to expand your eyes this morning, people. This thing of walking by faith, do you understand? There is a big God who backs us, a word that is eternal. Woo! It's not just you saying stuff to try to make it happen. That's what faith has become. No, we're agreeing as God opens our eyes up to a spiritual realm. We begin to agree. This is what 1 Kings 17, Elisha says, it will not rain for 3.5 years. The Bible calls that fervent prayer. It wasn't when he was in sackcloth and ashes in a fetal position begging. It was when he stood, eyes wide open, shoulders back, head high, and said, God has said. How we doing? Praise God. Gehazi was able to see with his heart into the spiritual world. And when the spiritual world was taken into consideration, then Elisha's statement was perfectly true. Those who see faith, listen to this, and I'll try to tie this up for you and we'll continue. You getting something out of this? You getting something you can grow by? If you don't remember anything else today, remember there's an unseen realm way bigger than we are. And God's empowered us simply by faith in his name. Are you here today to make a difference in our world? Fear is a terrible thing. You get a hold of what I'm talking about. Perfect love casts out all fear. Parents should not be afraid of their 2-year-olds. Christians should not be afraid of their government. Are you here today? Businessmen should not be afraid of the financial system. For he is our source of wisdom. He is our strength in time of trouble. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalms 27. Whom shall I fear? Those who see faith as an attempt to make something real, which isn't real, will always struggle with those who see faith as simply making what is spiritually true a physical reality. Catch that? Let me say it one more time. Those who see faith as an attempt to make something real which isn't real will always struggle with those who see faith as simply making what is spiritually true a physical truth. Those who limit truth to only the physical realm would have called Elisha one of those name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. Let me tell you what I think about that. I think that's mean. We're all growing. We all have our problems. Every one of us church groups thinks our balance is perfectly centered. And You know what? Our arrogance keeps us from seeing Jesus. Help me, Lord. You pray for us and where we're going. Keep it on Jesus. When Gehazi's eyes were opened, the Syrians didn't disappear, people. When Gehazi's eyes, listen, do you hear what I'm saying? When Gehazi's eyes were opened and he saw, the Syrian troops did not disappear. They were still there. Do you understand that? The physical truth was still alive, but there was a greater spiritual truth that emerged. True faith doesn't deny physical truth. That's Christian Science. How many are familiar with Christian Science? You don't deny what is there. A lot of faith people get into trouble thinking that faith is, well, it's not there. Look at the issue bold in the face. I recognize who you are, but you will submit to a greater truth from the unseen realm. It's not denial. It's speaking God's word about your situation. And it's 20 minutes till, and I got next week, and I'm going to stop right there. Father, thank you for these precious people. Each of us together reaching for what you called us to do. Father, I thank you forever, as Smith Wigglesworth called it, the title of his book, ever increasing. Come on, I feel the presence of God right now. I feel the anointing of God so strong. Would you say that with me? Ever increasing faith. I want you to take your hands and put them over your heart. Say with me, ever increasing faith. Faith to make a difference in me, for me, oh, but through me as well. Let's lift our hands up high. Say, Father, this morning. Say with me, Father, this morning, with confidence because of your grace, I lift up by and through the blood of Jesus, holy hands. I see them differently. For in these hands are authority, healing, power, for you gave it. We receive it today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now we're going to open up the altars like we normally do. I'm going to break this pattern at some point on occasion. But the last thing I want to do is just have, well, I'm not even going to say that. Right now, right where you're sitting, put your hand on your body, wherever you're hurting. If it's somewhere that you can't, for decency's sake, put your hand over your heart. Will we be real people? Are you here this morning? Maybe you're praying right now in proxy for somebody else. We just heard about a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Do you believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are you reaching out by faith and grasping, saying, Lord, open my eyes to an unseen realm? In the name of Jesus. Come on, people of God, agree with me and pray with me. No fear, confidence of a baby. Come on, are you here today? In Jesus' name, I curse death and sickness in the name of Jesus. And I declare the healing power, the delivering power, the provision of God in the name of Jesus right now. So be it. Amen. Now lift up your hands this morning right where you're sitting. Say, Jesus, I receive right now. Receive the inflow. Virtue flowing through your body. Virtue flowing through your eyes. Virtue flowing through your hips. Virtue flowing through your inward part. Virtue flowing through your mind. Virtue flowing through your feet. Virtue flowing through my daddy right now at home. In Jesus' name, devil, you're a liar. Spirit of infirmity, I cut you off. Your assignment, you will wither and fall apart. We declare healing and miracles by the name of Jesus. Pain, right now, leave this room. Now, if he can remove pain right now for 3 minutes, or 3 hours or 3 days, is it any miracle for him to do it? It isn't any more of a miracle than for him to do it for good. You know where we struggle? We can't see an unseen realm, but I'm telling it, as we preach this stuff, unbelief will have to roll back as faith rises to a new level. Are you here this morning? By the name of Jesus, pain, leave this room. Put your hands down quick. Now lift your hand if pain has left your body. Look around the room right now. Is there any difference for God? I said, is there any difference for God? For the rest of you, you still got pain in your body, lift your hand. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to you. You're a believer. Lay hands on her head. In Jesus' name, you said, we would lay hands on the sick and recover. Sister, you in agreement with right now? Are you in agreement with me right now? You are in agreement with me right now? You believe that word? Pain, go now. Where are we at? Totally, completely. No gimmicks. No messing around. Now, this is a demonstration. This is not to show off. I don't even know if I don't do this all the time. You know me better than that. But I want you to know something. Belief. If he can do it for 3 seconds, 3 minutes, are you getting a hold of this? 3 hours. Is it any less of a miracle that it would be done for good? Then take the good. Take the for good. When you walk out of here and it tries to come back, say it, do it, receive it, and tell your Jesus and everybody else around you, no more. I'm not submitting to this anymore. I'm going to thank God for who Jesus is today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I speak to nerves right now in the name of Jesus in somebody's neck right now. I bind the power of the devil. This is not a physical thing. I see the hand like a monkey of a demonic entity, and I'm telling you in Jesus' name, take your hands off, no pain anymore. This is going to affect your eyes. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? In Jesus' name, you receive that. In Jesus' name, pain. In Jesus, extend your hands this way. In the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, we speak the life of God into this body. And according to your word, no fear. For perfect love has cast out all fear. Like a child, I thank you, Lord, you opened my eyes to see another realm that gives me boldness. And that thing, I rebuke you. You take your hands off. You don't have any right. Be gone in Jesus' name. And we receive it. Say, I believe it. I'm saying it. I'm walking like this. I'm doing this. I receive it in Jesus' name. Where are we at, girl? Where are we at? Huh? The pain is gone. Where are we going? Now, if he can do it for 3 seconds, is 3 hours a big deal? If 3 hours is not a big deal, it's 3 days, it's 3 weeks, 3 months. Come on, people of God, we got to realize the enemy has crept into church with the spirit of unbelief and infirmity, but we can stand and put a demand on his word that is ever true, not based on your my goodness, but because he is good. And stand to your feet this morning. Come on, let's praise him. He is good and his mercy endures forever. Talk to chronic pain. Call it by name. There is a name above chronic name. It's called the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Woo! Ah. I might get excited if I keep on preaching. Listen, this is not hype. This is the true reality. I challenge you, by the love of God, that this great grace and confidence that we now have in the Father enables us to begin to open our mouth. We men are so proud. I'm a pastor who preaches this, and I'm proud. I just won't open my stinking mouth. How many of you men can identify me with me this morning? Open your mouth. Say it in front of your wife. Mean what you say. Okay, I'll get down off. I know that's weird. All right. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. How we love you. Thank you for your anointing, your healing power this morning. That the enemy is defeated. We see another realm. There are more that be with us than be with them. Say it with me. There are more that be with us. Now I want you to say it like you might possibly mean it. There are more that be with me. Open my eyes, Lord, than be with them. In Jesus' name. Go out of here declaring the word of God. Are you here today? Some of you are going to walk out of here and the devil's going to try you just on that basis. I know people have stuck 3 days completely healed. Unbelief tried to roll back in. Lester Sumrall, years ago, parting shot. We okay? Said he used to go visit this little lady faithfully every week. He'd walk up to the front door of her house, and on his way down the sidewalk, there was this little chihuahua dog that would just come out just a squealing and barking and everything and biting at his ankles. He said he got to the place where he dreaded going to this lady's house to spend time and pray with her, this elderly woman. He said, one day I'd pulled up to the curb, got out, a lot of things were going on. He said, stepped out of the car and started up the walkway to her house, and here come that dog. And he said, I'd had enough. He said, I turned around and gave a football kick to that thing and said, get out of here. He said, that thing flipped, squealing and rolling back up into the lawn. He says, never again did that dog come out and try to bite my heels and make noise. I'm here to tell you today, James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Well, you here today? Kick that dog going home today when that thing tries to come back in. In the morning, you wake up, oh, I had it, but whatever. Kick that dog in Jesus' name. Send him back up across the lawn. Stand, say it, do it, receive it, and tell somebody what Jesus is doing in your life and body. Let's move forward in faith. Get out of here before I start preaching again. You're dismissed.